Board.
Yes, sir.
There seems to be the general feeling, however, that today, Mr. D'Amato represents more of what the Republican Party stands for philosophically, ideologically, than Senator Javits does. Did you challenge this thing?
I don't think the relatively small vote in the primary is indicative of the broad philosophical views of the Republicans in the state of New York. Oftentimes, you can get in a primary a relatively small vote that is not indicative of the views of the Republicans statewide. I think that was probably the case in this primary, just like it was in New Jersey in the primary in 1978. A relatively small percentage of the Republican voters beat Cliff Case. They nominated a person who got creamed when he ran statewide against the Democratic challenger. I still believe Cliff Case represented a broader and deeper spectrum of Republicans in New Jersey, just like I happen to believe Jack Javits does in the state of New York.
Mr. Yes, President, on another subject, do you still have suspicions about the motivations of some of the people in Washington, including the President, in connection with the hostage crisis?
I can't help but be suspicious and somewhat cynical and skeptical when I see such a furor a few days before the election about getting the hostages back. It does raise the legitimate question. Why all of this special activity today? Why wasn't there a comparable effort for the last 11 and a half months? Now, I hope the hostages get back from Iran, but I would feel better if their recovery had come in an atmosphere less political than the way the administration is seeking to achieve it.
That when the President of the United States, Jimmy Carter, says, let's not have this injected into politics, and some of his supporters say that, what do you say?
Well, I can't help but notice that there seems to be an extraordinary effort by the Carter administration, and I suspect by the President, because they know, or they feel at least, from what I've heard, that if they just get those hostages back before November 4th, boy, it would ensure the election of President Carter. I think that's cynical. I think that, and I'm skeptical about it.
Mr. President, would you think that perhaps were that to occur within the next several days, that in fact it might create a voter backlash because of the cynicism that it has created?
It's very possible, because as I travel around the country, I have noticed as some cynicism. And I understand that either the parent or the wife of one of the hostages yesterday on one of the networks raised this question. She said, why all of the activity today? What's been happening for the last 11 and a half months? And I believe that this is a growing feeling on the part of the American people. And what worries me even more so, not more so, but equally, I keep reading that there might be a deal where the Carter administration would either release or sell arms to Iran, which would represent a change in our policy of neutrality or impartiality between Iraq and Iran. I think that would be disastrous, getting a short-term benefit for a long-term problem of very serious consequences. If we sell or release arms to Iran, it puts the United States alongside of Libya. Certainly Gaddafi's no friend of the United States. It puts us alongside of Syria. Certainly Syria is no friend of the United States. It puts us in bed with North Korea. Now, for the Carter administration to even contemplate getting us involved with Iran and making us allies of Libya, Syria, and North Korea is beyond my comprehension. And I say this with all emphasis. If the Carter administration does that, they will be projecting the United States in a worse quagmire than the problems of Vietnam. It'll be more dangerous to the United States than our involvement in the war in Vietnam. And we hadn't better get involved under those circumstances. Yes, sir.
Mr. President, do you think that as a longtime member of the House, the Congress could reject a deal that the Carter administration might project to the Iranian hostage? A deal that would be unacceptable to the House of Representatives?
Well, I don't know what kind of a deal the Carter administration may be contemplating. It's hard to visualize because they haven't released anything publicly. But there is one possibility, and here I think the administration ought to be warned. Supposing they release the so-called assets of the Iranian government here in the United States, which have been attached for one reason or another by various claimants in the courts of the United States. The administration says we will, in effect, release all those claims and make the money payable to Iran. First place, I don't think they can do it legally. But supposing they make a commitment, and then the courts say those assets cannot be released. Then the administration is going to probably come to the Congress and say, we made a commitment to Iran for X amount of dollars, X billion. In good faith, you, the Congress, have to pay it. I don't think the Congress would pay it. I don't think the Congress would pay it. The administration better understand that. Wouldn't that be your reaction, Jack?
Certainly couldn't be positive.
I just wouldn't see the Congress coming up with X billion dollars. The Congress, first place, wouldn't have been consulted about it. And why should they carry out an obligation of that kind? Yes, sir.
Do you still get regular briefings on what's going on over there as it might
be? I haven't had any briefing since the beginning of the Iran-Iraqi war by the administration.
Is it a closeout thing, or?
I have no idea.
No.
Mr. President, you laid a most serious charge against the current president of the United States. You accused him of acting cynically on a matter that affects the very lives of 52 Americans and the hopes and the dreams of their families. Are you saying that this man is so concerned with re-election that he has abandoned all morality?
I wouldn't put it in those terms. Now, those are your words, and they're very strong. What I have said is that I am very suspicious that we are seeing a flurry of activity in trying to get the hostages released prior to November 4th. And when I see that, vis-a-vis the lack of any at least visible activity for the last 11 and a half months, I become cynical and skeptical.
Mr. Ford?
Yes, sir.
I don't want to dwell on the hostage thing to state your position, but is there any reason to believe that that issue, having been raised now, has smothered all the other issues, the economic issues, and some of the other problems of the Carter administration?
It's very possible that that has been the net result, and I do feel it unfortunate because it has overwhelmed the opportunity of the public, the voters, to take a look at the record of the Carter administration on the economy, on the handling of foreign affairs generally, on military strength. I was in Michigan last week. It's unbelievable what you see in the state of Michigan economically. Under President Carter, he's had 5 economic policies, and the net result in Michigan is unemployment of almost 13% in the state, unemployment in the city of Detroit over 14%, and the city of Flint, Michigan, a community of 200,000, 22% unemployment. That's the net result of Jimmy Carter's failures in handling our economy. I think the economy is the real issue in this campaign, because if you don't have a strong economy, you can't provide the wherewithal to make our Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines strong enough to do the job. And if you don't have a strong enough domestic economy, you can't execute and implement a good foreign policy. So the Carter administration, after we handed them the economy on a silver platter, inflation 4.8%, prime interest rate 6.25%, unemployment 7.5%. Now they've blown it with unemployment 7.5 or 6, inflation 13%, and interest rates at an all-time high. That's the real issue in this campaign, in my opinion, and what you've raised, unfortunately, has smothered it to a considerable degree. Yes, sir.
If in fact the black vote had a lot to do with the present administration's election at the last election, then why is it that the Republican Party has not done something to formulate a plan that would attract the black vote?
Well, our chairman for the last 3.5 years of the National Republican Committee, Bill Brock, has made a significant effort in that regard. I can't give you all the details, but I know that Bill has spent a lot of his time, spent a lot of the committee's money, recruited a number of fine leaders among the black community, all aimed at trying to develop a Republican plan to interest blacks in voting for the Republican Party.
I must tell you, Mr. Ford, we don't know about those details either.
Well, I'm sure that Bill Brock can come up and give them to you in detail. But when I look at the loss of jobs in the state of Michigan, including a significant percentage of them of blacks under Jimmy Carter, I wonder why blacks would ever even think of voting for Jimmy Carter. They don't have jobs. The Carter administration has failed them. And I see no hope under the Carter administration that employment will be increased for blacks or for most of the other people that are currently out of work. Yes.
Do you feel that Ronald Reagan and Jacob Javits would be more of a friend to Israel than Elizabeth Holtzman and President Carter?
I think Ronald Reagan and Jack Javits would be first-class friends of Israel. Certainly, Jack Javits' voting record is indicative of that. And I know from talking with Ronald Reagan that he would be. So I have no hesitancy of saying that Israel would have a first-class friend in President Reagan and Senator Javits.
You feel the Carter administration has turned their back on Israel?
I wouldn't say they've turned their back on them, but certainly there's some questions about support in some areas. I don't think the government of Israel or the American Jewish community has gotten over what they did to Israel on this vote in the UN several months ago. If I ever saw a flip-flop in foreign policy, that was the number one example.
Mr. Ford, given the fact that some of the major criticism leveled by Democrats against Mr. Reagan is in foreign affairs, the question of is he capable, do you now have any regrets about not accepting a second spot with Mr. Reagan in that it might have alleviated those concerns, your experience in foreign affairs?
None whatsoever. I have the indication that the people who will be advising Governor Reagan in foreign and military affairs will be an outstanding one. I'm not privy to all the names, but I think there will be a list released this weekend of the group that will be the most intimate in their advisory role to Governor Reagan in military and foreign policy. From the names I've seen, it'll be an outstanding group of people, and I am very comfortable with that group. And I think the country will be well led with Governor Reagan taking advice from those individuals in those important areas of foreign policy and military policy.
Mr. President,
yes, ma'am.
Is your understanding that Henry Kissinger would be in the Reagan administration?
I do not know of any arrangements between Governor Reagan and former Secretary of State Kissinger. I know that Governor Reagan has talked with, met with Kissinger on a number of occasions, but I can't tell you what the relationship might be when Governor Reagan becomes president. I think it'd be great. I'm a terrific fan of Secretary Kissinger. I think he was the best Secretary of State during my lifetime and probably the best Secretary of State this country's ever had. This is my last appearance in New York State. As I said earlier, if I had the time, I would be delighted to spend the next 10 or 11 days here. I feel so strongly, but my schedule is otherwise. So I do hope that what I have to say will be well reported so that there won't be any question where I stand on the Senate race. It's for Jack Javits. Thank you very, very much. It's nice to be here.
All right, now I think that I'll answer whatever questions you have of me. We have some representatives here of Weekly Press, et cetera, who may have some ideas they'd like to have me respond to.
Senator Javits,
yes.
In the latest New York Times poll, it showed that 25% of your supporters could support Holcomb. At the risk of D'Amato winning this election, at what point would you consider pulling out?
Oh, I think that's a hypothetical question, and I'm not considering pulling out at all. I'm in here campaigning. And with the great support of President Ford and the wonderful appraisal which he makes of my value to the people of the state, I really don't see how I can do anything else.
What does that tell you, that figure of about one quarter of your supporters could go for Holcomb?
Well, that just tells me that the race is as close as I think it is.
Has it crossed your mind? Have you thought about pulling out? There were some public suggestions.
Well, if I hadn't thought about it, certainly I've heard lots of suggestions on the subject.
Can you put that to rest once and for all?
I don't know how. No one's going to assume for a minute that it's put to rest, no matter what I say. So
well,
let's wait.
Being here and everything,
yeah. Well, I think it's very, very heartening to me and very good as far as I'm concerned. I engaged in a statewide debate last night. I certainly give no indication of a candidate who's about to retire, and we're raising money and spending money. I wish we had more.
Mr. Javits, we know what your objections to D'Amato are. You made that very clear. Where do you find Ms. Holtzman lacking?
I have said that many, many times publicly. Ms. Holtzman has surprised me in respect of her own candidacy. She is one of many members of the House, and I hadn't studied her record particularly until she won the primary. I believe there is some strange lack in her thinking that she feels that she can vote against every defense authorization of the United States for 8 years and still believe that there's going to be an adequate defense, and that she can urge such extensive aid to Israel. And I have done that for 34 years, as she does, and sincerely believe that that is possible at the same time that she votes against the defense items. Secondly, I thoroughly disagree with the attitude she has toward the American business community, which she, I think, considers simply as a whipping boy for everything that's wrong. I yield to no one in my own independence with respect to the American business system. For example, I was one of the main protagonists of the windfall profits tax and of the aid to the poor in terms of excessive fuel costs, etc. If I just may finish, but that doesn't equate with the value which business can be to the American system, especially today when it needs so urgently to be modernized, and when I believe that the key to breaking the inflation, the real key, is an improvement, a major improvement, in the productivity of the country, which can only come about through the business system. So I have very serious differences with her, including, for example, her rejection of the nuclear option for power, which we have to have, if we're not going to be even more at the mercy of the OPEC trust. Therefore, I believe there are legitimate differences between us, which require that I take an opponent's position. I would help with federal aid, which I'm the inventor myself, for gifted and talented children, so that the best children have an opportunity to improve their superior equipment for learning. Secondly, I would do my utmost to improve school facilities. Physical condition of schools is often very bad. And lastly, and most important of all, I would make it possible for young people, especially those in high school, to work at the same time that they study, so that more of them may stay in school and be more interested in school because they had some concept of work. And in addition, we need materially to improve the conditions and character of the instruction which children have in terms of their teachers. Finally, they're entitled to be secure in their classrooms. And therefore, if there need to be guardians of that security, our educational system ought to be financed well enough to pay for it. No child should ever be in jeopardy in a schoolhouse or a schoolroom. And yet, I know very well, just as you say, that they are today.
Senator Javits, 2 days ago, Mr. D'Amato said that if a priority had to be set between defense spending and domestic programs, that he would certainly opt for that priority to be placed on defense spending. If it came down to that point, would you disagree with this?
I cannot disagree with the first issue being survival. I mean, I've been a senator for too long to be sucked into that one. Of course, the first issue is survival. But I'd like to point out that even under present exigencies, the budget which I proposed for the United States contained precisely and moved but was defeated, mostly on a party line vote. The military figure turned out to be precisely the figure agreed upon between the House and Senate, $153.7 billion, to the penny. And that provided an extra $2 or $3 billion for other programs, which could be reallocated, and that's all it took to give the budget a little color as to social concerns. Now, that's all, and so it was very, very correctly done. And it's my figure, no doubt about that, because it's very much of record and was actually voted on. So I do not believe that I would face any such dilemma. But naturally, of course, if it's survival of the country, that comes first.
Senator Javits, do you think that your loss of the Republican nomination reflected most strongly your views, Mr. D'Amato's views, or perhaps something else?
Well, I heard the president say that he felt that it was attributable to a fairly small vote. I would only like to add one other local note, and that is it also represented a very strong showing from the area in which Mr. D'Amato functions and in which his leader in Nassau County functions. And they got the vote out. And, you know, that's politics. And my people in other parts of the state, many of which I carried, that I didn't carry by enough. They didn't get the vote out. And that was the real answer to the primary campaign.
You think you underestimated Mr. D'Amato?
No, not at all. I didn't underestimate his leader. I didn't know anything about Mr. D'Amato, nor I think that anybody else in terms of our state. I mean, you know, sure, he was known in his local community, but I did not underestimate his leader. I knew we had a tough fight against him. For whatever reasons and whatever may be the flaws with him, and I'm sure that they certainly exist, the fact is that he did get out that vote. He got out twice the percentage in his area that we got in other parts of the state, which, by the way, preponderate very materially in terms of enrolled Republicans. But if they don't come out, nothing can be done about it. So I agree with President Ford. I think that was the principal local reason for my not succeeding in the primary.
Senator Javits, there are 10 days left in this campaign, and all polls, we still are number three. What's going to make the big difference? What's going to win it for you, and how are you going to do it?
Well, I'm working at it, and I'm working very hard at it, and I intend to continue that way in terms of debates and commercials and all the things that go with it. And I believe that the public will, in the course of that time, have an opportunity. I don't know that they will. They'll have an opportunity to awaken to the fact that they've got an extremely good senator for them that can deliver for the people of the state of New York in all of the things in which they want delivery in a senator. They've got one. They don't have to look for a new one. And he's got all the seniority and the clout which they gave him in almost a quarter of a century in sending him back to the Senate. And I believe that that I have an excellent chance to come out in the poll that counts, to wit, November 4, the winner.
But are you going to be changing the strategy? Are you going to be more pointed? Are you going to do something different?
Well, wait and see. Well, we are issuing this morning a paper outlining my policy on senior citizens and the actions which I will take. Have we got that here, gentlemen, or don't we?
You'll be issuing a senior citizens center this afternoon.
At a senior center. Well, where is it? Let's tell everybody where we're going. 96th and Columbus. I'll be speaking at a senior citizens center. And I'll issue the paper in that atmosphere at that time. However, if any of you need it this morning, do we have it ready?
Yes.
Is it here?
Yes.
All right. If any of you need it this morning, we'll give it to you. 2:30 this afternoon.
Senator Javits, you've always been a friend of the black community. What will the black community, I suppose the general community, lose by if you are not reelected in terms of the seniority and the committees and so forth that you are on?
Well, the black community will lose the senior member of the, in terms of service, of the Committee on Labor and Human Resources, which deals with labor, health, education, the aged, the very young, and many other things. And I think it disperses in terms of its authorizations, more money than that, than any other committee other than the Armed Services Committee. Secondly, it will leave a it will lose a person sensitive to those indicia of equal opportunity, which I have fought for all my working life, including affirmative action in respect of jobs, and including the penal code and its justice being blindfolded, as indeed it should be, including the opportunity to get to the same starting line as others who are not black in terms of education and in terms of health. It will lose a great deal, and you're not going to get for some time a senator ready to debate the issue of whether a judge is or is not likely to be prejudiced against blacks at 2:30 a.m. When the Senate's still in session and everybody is almost fast asleep. So I think a great deal will be lost. I hope very much that it isn't lost, it isn't necessary. And this, in response to the reporter who just asked me about that, this is a very mercurial time. And the third and the first are not that far separated, so that if people take the bit in their teeth, they can't correct it within the next 10 days.
On an international basis, just on an international basis, you certainly have been a friend to Israel. Now that Africa is really becoming more involved, particularly in Nigeria with oil, are you in a position to be as friendly with the, some of the African nations and deal with the South African problem in the same with the same enthusiasm that you deal with the problems that you have with Israel, in as much as there are over 30 million blacks?
I have done it already. But to be specific about, for example, Rhodesia, Zimbabwe, it is Senator Case, whom the President spoke about so feelingly and quite properly, and I, who invented the formula, which would, if not invented, have shut out Zimbabwe because of the sanctions which had been imposed against it, and not given the opportunity of about 6 months until a deal could be made for taking care of the war, with the civil war which was going on there. So I have been very active in the affairs of Africa, and will continue, and on my agenda it has a very high priority.
Yeah. How do you revitalize areas such as the South Bronx, and how do you stop the cancer from spreading into other communities?
Well, again, I've